Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Smart television sets and devices like Apple TV or Shield have carried CISO the last 8 months. The comedy-minded service's latest original attraction is Soulmates, and co-creator and star Nick Bashir joins me next. Now that we're in fall season mode, what new series have we been catching off the bat? Christina Faison and Chauncey Bellamy, co-hosts of Why Watch That Radio, opine aplenty in our second half hour. Also in play, Matt LeBlanc's new day job and our classic trivia question of the week. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Block Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Happy to have you with us as we kick off another week of the program All About Television. We're in second month of year number 10. 72 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. We're delighted you're aboard. We got some wonderful guests coming away the full hour, and we invite you to be part of the full hour by giving us a call and letting us hear what you have to say. All you have to do is use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. If you're shy about using the phone, no problem with us. Go to our chat room, SimonApple04BuyAnAid. Put your comments in there. You will find that chat room at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Get in there and be involved. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon somewhere on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. One news note quickie before we get to our first guest. Matt LeBlanc, who took over as the key host of Top Gear, has made a new contract with the BBC for staying with the show. He will be the main host the next 2 seasons, which will be carried on the History Channel and other places. So once again, Matt LeBlanc staying aboard with Top Gear through 2018. Oh, one other thing, if you haven't heard, yesterday Charles Osgood signed off for the last time as the host of CBS News Sunday Morning after 22 years of hosting that program, being the second Charles to do so, the first, of course, being Charles Carroll when the program began in the 1970s. And if you have not heard, the new host of this program will be former Today host Jane Pauley. She will start in less than 2 weeks. Sunday Morning will not be on CBS next Sunday because of another program commitment, so it will be the following Sunday that Jane Pauley will make her debut. And that's news notes for today. It's been 8 months since we've been covering a network that started on smart TVs and smart TV devices. It's called CISO. You might say it is the alternative to Comedy Central, but it does a lot more than just present comedy series. It presents classic TV series, stand-up performances, comedy sketches, a great library of material, and again, it's all available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. But along the way, they have presented some brand new series made in the United States and overseas. And one of the new overseas ventures that's getting a lot of play here is called Soulmates. It comes from Australia. It's a time travel comedy with a very interesting catch. It's about two people who have a connection, and they go back and forth in time. But every time they land somewhere, their memory goes out the door. Joining us live from New York, the co-creator, writer, and star of Soulmates, Nick Bashir. Nick, welcome in.
Hello, how do you do?
Very, very fine, thank you, Nick. Have you heard any reaction from the CISO viewers to what you and your colleagues are doing?
Sorry, could you repeat that?
Yes, have you been getting any feedback from CISO's audience about your program?
Yeah, we've seen our Facebook audience like increase in the States, and there's been some generally goodwill coming out of the States, which is fantastic. In terms of like the CISO audience specifically, I don't know. I think it's been received pretty well, although I don't have a definitive idea on the full response here. I think it'll start trickling in over the next few months.
How did you and your colleagues come to create Soulmates? Was there something personal? Do you love science fiction? Do you love time travel? Of which, by the way, we've seen a number of new series this fall deal with that subject.
Yeah, well, look, I think, like, yes to all those questions, really. Like, how we came to creating it was myself and Christian, the other lead, former in Soulmates. We created a web series called Bondi Hipsters, and the Bondi Hipsters became a bit of a behemoth web series back in Australia. And so the network's relatively interested in what we wanted to do next. And so we met with them and we had devised four different TV shows. And that was the Bondi Hipsters TV show. We had other characters like the Kiwi Assassins that we wanted to make a TV show for. We had the time travel agent characters that we wanted to create a TV show, and also for the cavemen. And they were like, well, can you combine all of those into the one TV show? And we had tossed around the notion of having all those four worlds and characters actually be reincarnated souls of the Bondi Hipsters characters, Dom and Adrian. So that's kind of how it came to be. And yeah, I love fantasy. Like, I love fantasy TV. I love fantasy film. I love sci-fi. I'm a massive out and proud nerd, and always have been.
When you put this show together, were there certain places of history, historical landmarks, incidents that you want to make sure that you covered, you and Christian covered?
Not necessarily. I mean, just as a slight correction to how you introduced this, I mean, you think it's actually Soulmates is a show about the reincarnated souls of Dom and Adrian, those characters, not specifically through time travel. And in terms of, in answer to your question, however, we did want to touch on a handful of things. Like in the time travel storyline that we do have in the first season, we did want to touch on, like, you know, how Christianity came to be or modern religion came to be. We wanted to touch on Nazi Germany, all those fairly, like, tropey sci-fi subjects were we wanted to play with for sure.
What makes your show fun, Nick, is that unlike other programs that have done time travel, like The Time Tunnel, Voyagers, Quantum Leap, the main character or characters keep their memory when they go from location to location. And here, because you deal with reincarnation, they don't. So it's like a totally new adventure for them. They don't know if they don't know if they've been connected or not when they go from place to place.
Yeah, that's a really nice way to look at it, actually, the memory wipe thing. I think I hadn't thought of it in those terms, but I think those with a reincarnation bent certainly think we retain elements of our previous lives, be they memory or energy or whatever they are. I actually have no personal idea. I have a feeling reincarnation did, but nothing beyond that. But I think you're right, yeah. In the case of reincarnation, there might be an inkling, a hunch, a feeling, some personality traits, some things that kind of feel instinctive but could actually be past life experiences. Do you know those, you know, two-year-old piano geniuses that simply just seem to kind of pick up the piano and be able to play it immediately? It's kind of like that stuff, no conscious memory.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, it must be, as a writer, you and your partner, it must be fun in this regard. Because their memory is out from episode to episode, you don't have to make the character the same way every time. You can start out in one location, you know, this is blank this way, blank that way, and then the next episode, totally different, and then maybe come back or rework something or whatever. So there's like total incentive to have the characters be as wild or unique as you want.
That's it. Like, it's a really flexible device. Like, it gives us permission to really do anything at any point with any character, really. And it is just a device, the Soulmates thing. Yeah, and it's super fun to write to that end, because we can tackle any lifetime, any period in history, be it how we might create the future or the past or anything. Yeah, it is wonderful to that end.
The program we're talking about is Soulmates, and you can find it on CISO, the NBC Universal-owned service available on smart TV sets, whether from rather from LG, Samsung, Vizio, etc., and devices like Apple TV, Roku, Google Chromecast Shield, and Amazon Fire TV. We've got the co-creator, writer, and star of the program, Nick Beshear, with us. He's with me in New York this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum, Moody Live, also from the Big Apple, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We are on Mondays and Fridays at this very hour. The lives you're aboard. If you have a question or comment for Nick, don't be shy. Use the phone and use 646-652-2906 or our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. The choice is yours. We have a great 90-minute episode coming away Friday to wrap up the month, and we kick it off with a wonderful person. Triple Threat is actress, writer, director Ileana Douglas. For the second consecutive year, she will host Turner Classic Movies' annual October salute to women in film, this time in women in front of the camera. Then, we will have a same-day interview with another Triple Threat person, actress, talk show host, and entrepreneur Kiki Melendez. This Friday here in New York, she will launch a brand new project that could be the launching pad for a number of new series aimed at people of color. It's called the Multicultural Sizzle Reel. It will be happening in Manhattan. And we will have Kiki with us live to tell us all about it. It will also be presented in October in Los Angeles. And finally, we'll have an exclusive interview with the chief executive officer of the newest set-top device for smart TV and smart TV devices. It's called SendLab. And what it does is very unique, especially for mature adults, a.k.a., in some quarters, senior citizens. So if you have a mom or dad around, you might want to have them listen to this. This might be a beneficial product for them. We'll talk to the CEO of SendLab, Tarnell Pini. It's all coming up on a special 90-minute edition of the show, Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Talk about how the characters came to be. How do they get shaped in the first place, and how do they get involved in this time travel?
Firstly, I would like to say how much I enjoy your radio personality, or your podcast personality. I think it's something as an Australian, you don't really hear that energy and personality on our media back home. So, firstly, I want to acknowledge that.
Thank you very much, Nick. Thank you. I know it's a bit hyper, and it's part enthusiasm. I just love covering television and featuring people like yourself on the program. So thank you,
mate.
Thank you very much.
I am all about it. It's part of the reason why I kind of adore the States, is that the media here and that personality is just, it is illuminated, and I genuinely enjoy it. Because back in Australia, we definitely have a bit more like, all right, yeah, we've got, you know, Bill Smith on the radio. So anyway, like, it's a bit more like that. So, mate, I'm all about it. Thank you. Thank you for being you.
Thank you. And ditto to you, too, as well. So tell me how you and your partner came up with the characters and how they got into this time travel shifting.
Right. So we came up with the characters pretty organically, actually. Christian came up. In fact, when Christian and I first met, this is going back 4 or 5 years, when we first met, I kind of creatively courted him because we met at a panel. We'd both had YouTube successes prior to this, and so we were both speaking on a panel, and I creatively courted him, and he said, oh, look, you know, I've got these two characters. They're from Bondi. They're hipsters, and I'd like to do something like that. And I said, bam, I'm in. I'll do it with you. So those two characters were birthed out of just a passing conversation. But the Kiwi Assassins and the Caveman concepts came from me, really. I thought, Kiwis, I don't know if you know a great deal about them, but they're the friendliest people on planet Earth. They're super nice. They've got a great sense of humor. It's a pretty small world back in New Zealand, and they play to that really well. They play to the pokiness of, like, what it means to be Kiwi. So them having to murder people, yet maintain a prevailingly friendly vibe, that's where they came from. And then cavemen, I do a lot of hiking, and I came up with the idea of cavemen, but not in the sense that it was a bit ooga boogery. I wanted to avoid the ooga booga. Oh, yeah, shit, we just hear the wheel. That's weird. I kind of thought it'd be interesting to have a more observational take on, like, doing shit for the first time as a caveman. So it just kind of came up relatively organically, and the time travel concept was Christian's younger brother, who is a co-writer on the series and a co-director and an all-round talented egg, and he came up with the time travel concept. So just kind of organically, you know, just in the shower or walking along, you know.
Well, what's it been like for you and Christian to leap from YouTube, where you have certain parameters to work with, to doing a television series where you have to write everything directly, as they say, you both direct, you star, and you have to, and you also have to work with others in making sure whether it's sets, lights, cameras, to make it all go.
Yeah, true. That's a great question. I personally struggled with it in a sense, because on YouTube you can get away with blue murder. It's an undefined audience that we built, so you're really just making it for yourself in the beginning, and you can teabag a webcam, and that can be an episode. But, you know, you can do whatever the dickens you like. But then going to TV, I found it particularly challenging because you have to write to TV structure. So it's a certain length of time. You have to honour the audience and write characters that are believable and write storylines that are A, believable, and B, understandable. And, you know, it's a craft. That's where I really realised that writing for TV and for film is such a wonderful craft, and quite a difficult one, and I really struggle with it personally, but I think I have some understanding of it. I'm not really there yet, but I definitely have more of an understanding of it. But yeah, that was my challenge going from there to there, for sure.
Was there a particular episode that was less struggle, more pleasure?
Yeah, actually, there was. There was in the caveman in the first series, we created a concept where the two cavemen get addicted to spinning. You know, when you're a kid and you spin, and you're like, this is amazing, but it makes you feel like shit. And anyway, essentially, one of the cavemen characters gets thoroughly addicted to spinning, and he spins out of control and so on. And that concept came and was written pretty much immediately. And every so often you do have a concept that presents itself and that's pretty clear how it's going to run. So that was a real pleasure. There were three or four of those episodes in The Caveman that were actually enjoyable. And then further, your like previous question, how we had to work with other people, working with CISO and also the ABC back home was a fucking pleasure, because guess they're comedy guys. And my first thought was, and understandably so, that they'd want us to remove any esoteric Southern Hemispherian hoo-ha. But, you know, CISO insisted that we were ourselves and we be ourselves, and that's pretty much that. So there was no intervention that wasn't really useful for us. So yeah, we were super lucky in terms of finding CISO and the ABC. We didn't find having those big bodies work with those bodies going from online to TV a challenge. It was more the challenge for ourselves individually.
Nick Bashir is the co-creator, co-writer, co-star of Soulmates. It's the new series from Australia that is making it here in the United States on CISO, the NBC Universal Cable Network, available on smart TV sets and smart devices. Nick joins us live here in the Big Apple. This half hour on Smart We Televised. Simon Applebaum here with you as well on Blog Talk Radio. Delighted you're aboard as we kick off another week, last week of September 2016. If you have a question or comment for Nick, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Next Friday, not this Friday, next Friday, October 7th on Tomorrow Televised, among our guests, one of the top executive producers in the world of game shows. We've had him on before. He is always a delight. The executive producer of The Price is Right and Let's Make a Deal on CBS, Mike Richards. Last week, Price is Right began 45th year on the network and 10th year with Drew Carey as the host. Mike Richards, The Price is Right and Let's Make a Deal, live with us. That's the week from Friday, October 7th, right here on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know, every so often, Nick, we here in the United States get a chance to see some aspect of Australian television. I remember growing up in the 60s, we'd see things like Skippy the Bush Kangaroo, and then in the 70s and 80s, we saw some of the Australian, what's it called, soap operas or daily dramas like Prisoner of Cell Block H. that Greg Grundy, the Australian entrepreneur, put together. And then we had shows like Sale of the Century that were adapted here in the United States. What is that? Paul Hogan, let's not forget him, the wonderful sketch comedy performer. What's Australian TV like now? But also, did you grow up watching a lot of great Australian shows?
Oh, yeah. I did, yeah. I remember being addicted to a handful of things. There was a show that I first remember being obsessed about. It was called Young Talent Time. Do you know the Minogue sisters? Have they made their way here in the States? Kylie Minogue, Danny Minogue? Yeah, a little bit. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's probably equivalent to your Disney starlets. Or even not starlets. What the heck is it? Where, like, Justin Timberlake and Spears came from? Like, where young, gifted performers, you know, get their birth. And I remember bawling my eyes out if I ever missed that show. It's called Young Talent Time in Australia, and it just had the kids performing, and I remember being hooked on that. And then as I grew up, there was a show, Australian sketch comedy show, that to this day is, like, very warmly remembered, called The Comedy Company. And it was, like, we'd sit down as a whole family and watch it and howl with laughter, and very Australian stuff, you know, extremely Australian stuff. And then after that, the stuff that I really remember getting affected by was there was a show called Frontline, which is done by an Australian crew called Working Dog. And they were very funny and very Australian. They were part of the same team that made Castle, if you've seen that, and stuff that may not have made its way to the States, but just so Australian and extremely funny. And then Summer High Tide. Do you know Chris Lilley?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so Chris Lilley is he's kind of my hero. Like, he was so gifted, and I started quite late as a performer myself. I started around, you know, the age of 30, 29. I remember seeing his stuff a year or two before that and just being really, had my socks completely blown off. So I was a huge fan of him. And then Crocodile Dundee, did you ever see Crocodile Dundee? Surely.
Surely have, and I mentioned Paul Hogan, who, of course, got his start on television with the Paul Hogan Show, which ran several years in Australia and also was carried, I believe, Channel 9 here in New York in WWOR now. Carried it in late night for several years.
Well, yeah. So he was a funny dude, so funny. So that mm-hmm. they were the things that really influenced me. But I mean, I've been a huge fan of American comics from the beginning, like early Bill Murray and John Belushi, and Saturday Night Live, and just all those early, well, certainly early in my lifetime, American comedies, and they were just incredibly influential to me personally. Bill Murray, I'm addicted to Groundhog Day. I still watch Groundhog Day once a month, once every 3 weeks.
There is talk, though, Nick, of Groundhog Day being made into a musical for Broadway next year.
I'm completely okay with it. I mean, because for a couple of reasons, anything that is a new reflection of the world that I love so much, a new image of the world that I love so much, I'm in. Like, I'd love to just see it to that end. And also on an Australian comic, Tim Minchin is doing all the music for it. So I'm kind of, like, you know, a bit more wedded to the idea because of that.
Two other points I want to make quickly. One, thank God for YouTube, because you can see some of the best Australian comedy. I think a lot of the Paul Hogan shows are on. There's a show called Whiplash that was made, I think, in the late 50s, early 60s with Peter Graves before Mission Impossible. Very interesting action-adventure drama, very suitable for the family. And let's not forget Flight of the Conchords, which is the HBO series that came from Australia for several years, that wonderful group that did so well.
Kiwi comedy, actually, The Flight of the Conchords. I'm such huge fans of the Conchords, and that's such a good expression of what that Kiwi humor is that I was talking about before. It's very easy to fall in love with and very understated, very witty.
Before we go, Nick, I understand you've done two seasons of Soulmates. Is the third one coming up? And if so, when do you go into production on it?
Well, there's talk of a third season at the moment, and I think it is kind of, you know, on the cards. But we're currently working out what kind of we want to do. There's opportunities for us to do feature film versions of the Bono Hipsters show, possible full-length TV show of the Kiwi Assassins. There's a couple of offers that we're going to, you know, have a look at and just see what the next steps are.
The program is Soulmates, and you can find both seasons' worth of episodes available now on CISO. Remember, CISO is S-E-E-S-O, is available on most smart TV sets, as well as devices like Apple TV, Google Chromecast, Amazon Fire TV, Shield, etc., etc., etc. If you want more details about the program online, here's where you go, CISO.com. That's S-E-E-S-O.com. CISO is presented by NBC Universal. Nick Beshear, co-creator, writer, star of Soulmates, thank you for joining us. Congratulations on making it here to the U.S. of A through CISO, and I hope both where you are and where we are that your series and any future TV you do has a wonderful run. It's been a pleasure to have you aboard all the way.
It's really nice of you to have us. Thank you.
A pleasure. Take care. Have a great time here in the Big Apple.
it's actually impossible not to.
For sure. Take care.
See you, Matt. Bye.
Nick Beshear, joining us live in New York. Once again, the program with Soulmates is available on CISO 24/7 through On Demand. More tomorrow's show live coming away shortly, including our new classic trivia question of the week. But first, some words about the fine people at Audible.com. Carly Lloyd is one of the great stars of U.S. women's soccer, or soccer period, what they've done with the Olympics, the Women's World Cup, and so on and so forth. And now she has a brand new audiobook about her rise to soccer stardom and more. It's called When Nobody Was Watching, and you can get it when you subscribe to Audible.com. Audible.com, which is an Amazon company, is a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information with over 180,000 titles to choose from. And you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now, through Blog Talk Radio. Remember, if you sign up at this URL, audibletrial.com/televised, audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook, whether it is Where Nobody Was Watching by Carly Lloyd or something else of your choice, and one month trial of service. And with Amazon company behind the whole shebang, you know that the service is top of the line for you and all customers out there. So hear for yourself why audible.com is a great bargain and a wonderful source of ongoing listening and inspiration. Remember, it's audibletrial.com/televised, audibletrial.com/televised. Check it out later today. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week, and if you know the answer, well, you can win Twin Peaks FAQ, the wonderful book about the classic ABC series that's being revived by Showtime next year from Applause Books and Cinema. Remember The Night Stalker, very popular movie on ABC, Movie of the Week, starring Dan McGavran as an intrepid reporter who finds himself in the world of supernatural. It was spun off into a television series that lasted a year, then Frank Sprinitz of X-Files fame redid it about a decade or so ago. Here's the question. What was the Night Stalker's full name? What was the Night Stalker's full name? We want both first and last name. If you know the answer, email at simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and your full mailing address. If you're first correct answer, you win. You can also use Twitter to get the answer in. Use hashtag TWBT. That's Twitter, hashtag TWBT. Twitter options made available by the wonderful people at Hopscotch, the folks that invite you to create your own social soundtrack. Learn how at www.hopscotch.com. That's www.hopscotch.com. And if you just missed the question, no problem. I'll post it tomorrow morning on my Facebook page and on my own Twitter hashtag at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. So be in and win it, and all the very best. When we come back, we're going to be joined by the co-host of the very popular program that follows the world of entertainment, Why Watch That Radio. Christina Faison, Chauncey Bellamy, size up the new television season so far after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're listening to the best internet radio on planet Earth, or any other planet for that matter, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for the Key of the Unplugged show. Check it out tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best of BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised on this Monday afternoon, final Monday, September 2016. Simon Applebaum with you live. Thank you for making this part of your afternoon affair. Another pair of guests coming your way this half hour ahead, and we invite you, as always, to be part of the program. It's better when you are. 646 646- 652-2906, the number to call and use. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio. Chat room is still open. Sign in Apple 04 by name. Find it at blogtalkradio.com/televive. Find it, get your words in, and we get them on the air. There's a lot of activity going on, of course, in TV these days. A bunch of new shows premiered earlier this month, and then last week, the new fall season premiered on broadcast networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox, with CW come this October. So the question before us this half hour, what are people watching that is new this fall season? Well, I met some people over the weekend at Urban World's big event here in New York with Samantha's, and here they are, joining me live in New York, the co-hosts of the popular program Why Watch That Radio, Christina Clayton and Chauncey Bellamy. CNC, welcome in.
Hey, how's it going, Simon?
Good to have you both. How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing great. Oh, we've got a lot to talk about with this TV business.
Oh, my, you know what? I'm overwhelmed, Simon. Are you?
So what? There's a lot to talk about, so let's get right to it. And Christina, we'll start with you first. I mentioned broadcast networks ran out of the gate last week. Then we had things like Queen Sugar and FX's new series Atlanta, Better Things, et cetera. So, Christina, what's sort of on not only your mind, but the audience's mind, in terms of what they're liking that's new?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's start with Atlanta on FX. It is the surprise hit of the network, and also the surprise hit of the fall. Everybody is just eating it up. Donald Glover not only is the writer, creator, and also the star, but he's also doing some producing as well. So it's really his baby, and everybody's really behind him on it. When I was speaking to people at Urban World, almost everyone I interviewed is watching Atlanta. So your listeners might want to check it out.
Yeah, definitely. And look, the look of it, just all of it, even how he handles certain issues in that show, it's refreshing and weird in a good way.
It is. It's unconventional. It's a very smart television show.
It's like Orange is the New Black. You can't classify it. You can't call it a pure comedy. You can't call it a pure drama. Maybe Slice of Life is the best closest definition of it. But No question, the critics are all over it. It got great reviews, great ratings on FX. Already people are touting it next year for the Peabody Award, touting it for Emmy Awards. Certainly Glover certainly is going to be one of the folks to watch, and we're only, as I said, in late September. And let's not forget that there's another comedy that's on also that FX premiered, and that's Better Things with Pamela Adlon. A lot of people know her as a voiceover talent, but this is definitely her breakout role.
Yes, I mean, that show really surprised me, actually. I mean, we see her not only as an actress, but also as a mother, and she's trying to juggle all of that stuff, and her delivery is great. She created this with Louis C.K., so you can get some of his flavor as well. So I think that is also a surprise comedy that really works and isn't like everything else out there.
Chauncey, another show that came out ahead of the broadcast networks, there were quite a few that did, which was very unusual, between Labor Day, or it was Labor Day evening, Labor Day night, and the time the broadcast folks premiered their stuff last week, is Queen Sugar. It looks like Ava DuVernay has her first critically acclaimed series on the Open Free Network. It's a groundbreaker, first television series, maybe scripted series in the history of the media that's all directed by women, mostly by women of color. Have you seen it, Chauncey? And if so, your thoughts?
Yes, I certainly have. I've seen it, and just as you said, really, what she's doing not only in front of the camera, but also behind it, is so important. I think it's a great step forward for OWN. Visually, storytelling-wise, and we can feel Ava DuVernay's strength, her characterization, her sensitivity for those kinds of issues. So I would certainly say if you like character-driven soaps, because that's what's going on here, then this is a show to certainly check out. And you might be surprised by everything else that comes along with it.
That's right.
And Christina, one thing about Ava's work, it doesn't come off as a soap. It's beautifully, it comes across as, at least when you see it, beautifully shot. It's wonderfully acted. Regina Wesley coming off True Blood, maybe another top talent perhaps for an Emmy nomination. It just appears that the tone of the show, and maybe that's because of the fact that you have people of color directing it, and different perspectives. It's not just African Americans, Latinos. There's an Asian, at least one Asian American director. A lot of them come from independent film. It just seems that the tone of the show raises the bar as opposed to, oh, it's a soap.
Yeah, it does. It does raise the bar. And you really have Oprah behind this. She is at heart a storyteller, and so is Ava DuVernay. So as an African-American woman, I think it's a champion. She's championing the TV medium right now. And for me to watch it, to see real people on the screen, to see real-life situations, and some wonderful acting from some veterans, I'm going to say you need to check it out.
Chauncey, the broadcast networks are now off the gate with their new series. Of the networks, and as I mentioned, CW has their things beginning in the next 2 weeks in October. Which network, based on what you're getting and what your listeners are getting at Why Watch That Radio, who do they see as the network that, in terms of new series, is the one network to watch?
You know, it's interesting because it's – look, here's how you say it. ABC has designated Survivor, if we're talking new, which the pilot was great. Set things up beautifully. NBC is coming to bat with This Is Us. Okay, so we have that kind of show, which has a twist at the end of its pilot. Then Fox.
Oh, my goodness. Fox is sneaking in with Pitch.
Yeah. So Pitch, we have this, you know, a female playing in the Major League Baseball. So I think it's those three shows for me and our listeners that we're watching. Of the three, I think I have to go designated.
I think
Kiefer Sutherland, we know him. We know what's going on, 24. We now see this premise, which seems preposterous. But when you watch it, it's really entertaining. It keeps your attention.
It does.
Mm-hmm. What do you think ABC has to do with that series, the producers have to do, to make sure it doesn't come across as a mini-series? Because a number of their shows of late start off great, then went into trouble, last but only shows like Revenge, for example, where
yeah.
you felt like that show could have been done in one it could have been one and done season.
Yeah, you know, really what it is, Simon, it's about urgency. It's about making sure that every scene has a reason for being there. You're not repeating yourself. So I think with the premise of that show, it can go anywhere. We really don't know after the pilot what's going to happen. So it's also going to be this. You have to know when to end the show. Sometimes it's just time to call it quits and not let it outrun its own story potential.
And plus you have Kiefer Sutherland as the captain of the ship.
Yeah.
He really is a veteran. He knows what he's doing. He's been behind the camera as well as in front of the camera. I have a feeling that he knows how to steer the show right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Christina, let's go to NBC. The program a lot of people are talking about that folks see as a winner is This Is Us, which comes from Dan Fogelman, who also did Pitch. We'll get to Pitch shortly. But This Is Us, a very unique premise, which is people from different walks of life connected in some fashion, at least to the pilot, by birthdays. And maybe to some folks, it's turned out the big twist by time travel. And it seems that that's the show of the NBC shows that people really came to heart with, in part because over the summer the trailer was released and about 40 million people saw it on YouTube.
Yeah, you know what? This is, well, first of all, we've got a cast member coming fresh off of his Emmy win, Sterling K. Brown. I'm already interested to see because I really like his work.
Mm-hmm.
When you do watch the pilot, you kind of don't know what you're getting, especially the way it was advertised. And then once you get inside of the show, you realize you're getting much more than you bargained for. So This Is Us, to me, I'm going to use the word again, it's a surprise hit. NBC really needs a show right now, and there's nothing like a show dealing with different forms of relationships and how those relationships develop in a good environment where there's good acting happening and where there's good storytelling happening.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and this is also, like you asked, Simon, about designated survivor, what are they going to do to grow this show?
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you have a premise like that, when you have so many options, that can be a problem. Because sometimes for writers, when they have restrictions, that's when you get great ideas because it comes out of that kind of tension. So I'm really interested to see what happens next.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yep. What's the next episode going to be like?
As you can hear, we've got a lot of fall season byplay going on between the co-hosts of Why Watch That Radio, Christina Faison and Chauncey Bellamy. They're both with us live here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live with them. Delighted you're with us this Monday afternoon. Be part of the conversation with us. Give us a ring, 646 652-906, or use our chat room, SilentApple04. My name is Pretty, has just joined in the room, so get your comments in there, Ms. P. We would love to have you aboard. Remember, coming up Friday on the program, 90 edition to wrap up the month, the wonderful actress, producer, director, as triple threat as they get, Ileana Douglas will join us. Remember, she will be, again, the host of the Turner Classic Movies Annual Festival Saluting Women in Film. This time, it's women in front of the camera. We'll ask her what she thinks about the efforts to try to get more women and women of color into television. Plus, Kiki Melendez, another triple threat person, actress, host, and now entrepreneur of Multicultural Sizzle Reel Upfront, a special event happening here in New York on Friday and in Los Angeles in October. It's trying to get new programs by people of color, largely Latinos, on the air. And we will have her live with a same-day exclusive interview. Plus, there's a brand new smart TV device on the market and specifically aimed at senior citizens, including the ability to call and watch who you're calling. It's called SendLab, and we'll have an exclusive interview with the Chief Executive Officer, Tarno Pini. Incidentally, SendLab went on the market last week through Amazon.com. Talk about Pitch and also the other Fox shows. Lethal Weapon, for example, got started. They had two reboots of movies. Lethal Weapon got mixed reviews, but quite a few of them were positive. And did pretty well in the time period, but The Exorcist and Pitch on their first time out did not do so well.
Yeah, you know, Lethal Weapon, we know the movie, okay, and they really condensed it, as Christina says, into that first pilot episode. What I did like is Clayne Crawford and Damon Wayans, their relationship together. I think if they stick with them and don't force it, they're okay. For The Exorcist, I didn't mind it.
Oh, no, for me, we disagree.
Yeah, I mean, The Exorcist, it's not the movie. We've seen this stuff before, but it's a capable pilot. It has Gina Davis in it and other actors. You know what they're doing. So, okay, and it's on Friday night. For Pitch, the cast, again, is smartly done. Was the pilot perfect? No, but most pilots aren't. Again, you've got to wait until the next episode to really feel it out and to see whether this is something that's right for you.
Especially we got that curveball, so to speak, at the end.
The screwball.
We're not going to give away what happens, but I really do want to see where they're going to take it off from there.
Go back to NBC for a moment. We recently had Michael Schur. He's the co-creator of Parks and Recreation. He created Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He was up for an Emmy Award as one of the executives of Master of None, which got the Comedy Writing Emmy last weekend. And now he has The Good Place, which has Ted Danson and Kirsten Bell. It's gotten some very good reviews, had a great shot when it was on Monday night after The Voice, then it moved to Thursday night, and the ratings went down.
Yeah, and also the question is it just the change in night, or is it also how many of their audience are they going to retain? Now, this with Kristen Bell, also with William Jackson Harper playing her soulmate, okay, in heaven. The concept, and this is what I was talking about before, Simon, the concept is so broad, it's difficult to really figure out how to take advantage of all of that. So I think this is the kind of show where you have to keep watching. You have to give them time to figure that out and also figure out exactly what are they doing comedically or dramatically.
Yeah, it might be just what NBC needs right now, just some sort of comedy.
They do, yeah. They need a hit.
When it comes to viewers, CBS leads by a lot, and they premiered some new shows. Kevin James returned to television, and Kevin's work on Monday nights. Bull, which is based on the early life of Dr. Phil, and MacGyver on Friday nights from the producer of Hawaii Five-O, rebooting a classic television series. And I understand from CBS that about 11 million people saw the show live on Friday night. It doesn't include the DVR, video on demand, cable and satellite people. Anyway, have any thoughts? Either of you have any thoughts about what CBS came up with?
You know what, honestly, Simon, these three shows did not do it for me, I have to say. Look, when it comes to Bull, Michael Weatherly, to me, he looks great. He has the right presence. His voice, I don't know what it is. It just wasn't working. MacGyver, I think it should just stay in the 80s. That's where I loved it.
I loved the original MacGyver. And the thing about it is we all knew how ridiculous it was for MacGyver to just take a pin and make an explosion out of it.
Yeah.
And this time around, you sort of have it more as a procedural, and it's not light. Or if you're going to do it, maybe spoof it.
Yeah.
Maybe just go far, a little It'll be really serious.
Yeah.
So it's in that in-between place. I don't know if I'll keep watching it, but I applaud for CBS for trying to do that. But
yes.
I don't know about you, if you like the new Kevin James or not.
Yeah, Kevin can wait. I like Kevin James.
Yeah, Kevin James is amazing.
I just don't know that this is the material that's going to showcase what he can do. And that last track is just so intrusive. I mean, come on. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But the thing about it is, listen, folks, CBS has a built-in audience.
Yeah.
They will support those shows. I mean, especially if it's on Friday night and you're around Blue Bloods. Oh, good gracious! You're going to get some watchers.
Mm-hmm. Christina, how did you and Chauncey come up with Why Watch That? The folks who have never heard you before.
Well, the funny story is that Chauncey and I we first met in a show together, and what we did is we were traveling around the country acting, and we realized that how much we loved film. We would go to the movies, we'd see it, and we'd talk for hours and hours and hours about it. And later on, we reconnected, and we picked right back up where we left off. And I told Chauncey, because he's really a brilliant mind when it comes to television and film, I was like, dude, you should totally write a blog. And our mutual friend, the producer, Brandy Cochran, was like, no, it should be a podcast. And
yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and then it turned into a podcast, you know, and it's going to a website now at whywatchthat.com. And, you know, the thing is, Christina was talking about my expertise, but she is really the yin to my yang.
Yeah, we share brains.
Yeah. So, you know, it's helpful because the more we do this, the more we start seeing even more from that's different from our perspective. You know, because Christina directs, she writes, she produces, she does so many things. So I start wearing those hats as well.
I love corrupting your dog.
You have.
And for those who don't know, you can also catch Why Watch That Radio on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. We've got the co-hosts, Christina Faison, Chauncey Bellamy. They're with me live here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Love to have you aboard, too. So give us a ring, 646-652-2906, and use our chat room, SimonApple04Man. Again, 90-minute episode coming your way this Friday. Following Friday, our first one of October, we will have, among others, the popular executive producer of both The Price is Right and Let's Make a Deal on CBS, Mike Richards. He's been on before. He is always a wonderful person to have aboard. Price is Right last week launched its 45th year on CBS. And Friday, they introduced a brand new pricing game called Hot Seat. And the winner was somebody from Detroit who won $20,000. Went all the way. Had her mother there in the audience, too. And they were celebrating like crazy. All right, for the rest of the time, let's do some rapid fire. And Chauncey, I'll start with you. First topic. And we'll talk about shows that are coming up. Your thoughts about Luke Cage, the latest Marvel show coming on Netflix at the end of the week.
I'm so excited. Can I just tell you? I mean, Luke Cage, Mike Coulter, who was in The Good Wife, I love him. They're pulling in Mahershala Ali and others. I liked him in Jessica Jones. I'm going to love him in this show. I'm sure of it.
Me too.
Christina, three shows coming up early October on HBO, the long-awaited adaptation of Westworld with Anthony Perkins and
Hopkins.
I just had brain flash. Anthony Hopkins, and obviously in the cast. And then we also have Sarah Jessica Parker's return from Sex and the City in Divorce with Thomas Hayden Church. And then something we've been waiting for a long time, Issa Rae, the awkward Black Girl of YouTube fame, in her first ever TV series, Insecure.
Yes, okay. So HBO is gearing up because ready for Game of Thrones to go bye-bye. definitely excited. We saw Insecure, and actually you can check it now on HBO Go and HBO. Insecure is going to be a sneaky hit. It's going to have a lot of support. It's also one of those very smart TV shows that women can take too, but I think men will like it as well.
Yeah.
Divorce, Sarah Jessica Parker is back to HBO. She's back where she belongs. I think this might be another hit. You might have to get into it a little bit, but she's been pubbing it a lot, and I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, it's not Sex in the City.
No, it's not going to be Sex in the City. It's different. Now, the last one, Westworld. Now, here we go. We've got a very the cast is stacked.
Yeah.
The subject matter is stacked. The producers are stacked. This is going to be one of those. Maybe it'll go head to head with Corey.
Oh, it's going to be a
fun Corey. But, yeah, this is going to be one of those shows that you're going to want to keep watching because you're not going to believe what you see.
Yeah.
So I think HBO is definitely, definitely on the right track.
Yeah, they have to replace Game of Thrones.
Yes, they do. Quickly.
Chauncey, another HBO attraction coming up. It was supposed to be on this week, but it's being postponed to late October, and that is the nightly newscast from Vice, now called Vice News Tonight. What do you make of its chances? What do you make of the way they're doing it? It will not have a newscaster per se, and the fact that Vice, which of course is also doing Viceland, is behind it.
Yeah, you know, Vice, they always seem to know what to do. So you trust them. You trust the way they tell the story. I mean, it's really about authenticity for them. So the way that they're handling this presentation, trying to really throw the monkey wrench into the news, I think it's going to be absolutely fine. And HBO is their home for a reason. I mean, you also have John Oliver. You also have Bill Maher. We also have other people doing stuff that'll help them fit and find their audience, which they already have.
Yeah, they already have.
I think this is a done deal. They're going to do a great job.
Mm-hmm. Christine, I want to ask you about the shows that we saw on Urban World on Saturday night, which are coming up in January. But before that, is there any show or special between now and the end of the year that you're looking forward to? Whatever network, broadcast, cable, Netflix, Hulu, et cetera.
Okay, listen, let me tell you something, Simon. I'm upset with the Emmys right now because for how many years now? Four seasons or three seasons, they've ignored Rectify on Sundance TV. That is the show to watch. If you haven't seen it, go to Netflix. I'm very excited about that coming back in October. I think everybody should check that out. It's a favorite here at Why Watch That.
Yes.
What else am I excited about? I kind of want to see, what else? I don't know. I'm just having a rest.
You are having a rest.
I don't know. It was so bad. It's just last season. So I'm excited. I'm actually just going back. I'm excited to see what they're going to do with Pitch. I really want to see that. Notorious.
How about you, Chauncey? I'm sorry, go ahead. Yeah, Notorious, yeah. And Chauncey, how about you? Because I'm right here on time. I want to make sure we get Chauncey on.
You know what, you already mentioned Luke Cage. You know what, Crisis in 6 Scenes is coming out soon from Woody Allen on Amazon. So that'll be interesting, I mean, because, you know, Woody is all about film. So what are we going to get TV-wise? So I think we're all going to have our eyes wide open to see.
Ooh, Mozart in the Jungle, that's coming out too.
That's
true. I want to see that.
And you know what, Younger comes out on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Disneyland.
Right, with Sun Frosted back to season 3. I'm going to make a pick. One show that I think a lot of people will be interested in is from Sci-Fi, and that's Incorporated. It's the first time Matt Damon and Ben Affleck have put their heads together on a dramatic series. And this may be one that takes sci-fi, which I think has been sort of under the radar screen a little bit this year. They had some wonderful shows like Hunters, which didn't make it, but also Wynonna Earp, which we covered on the program. I think it's been one of the sleepers of the year. I think Incorporated is going to be one to watch. That takes place on November 30th. Before we go, Christina, we were at Urban World, and we got the chance to look at or to catch on the red carpet, two programs that are premiering within days of each other in January. One is on Fox. It's called Shots Fired. Talk about it. I think this is going to be a very, very special. This may be one of the most important shows, maybe the most important show for Fox this year and maybe for broadcast television this year.
I completely agree with you. I was hugely affected by the night of. It was a riveting moment. I think Shots Fired is going to do that. It may supersede it because it'll reach, you know, farther than beyond HBO. The cast is amazing. The concept is amazing. The writing is great. Gina and Reggie deserve Emmys right now.
Oh.
Gina Prince Bythewood and Reggie Rock Bythewood. Reggie was the former creator of New York Undercover with Dick Wolf. Gina, of course, wonderful filmmaker from Different World, then got into directing film, and now doing a very rare TV project that's really special. And the other film, Chantel, again, you talk about this, is the first of what may be a very big lineup of new scripted projects from BET, and that's the first of two miniseries they're going to present in the winter of next year, and that's the New Edition Story, 6-hour miniseries about that famous group.
You know what? The New Edition Story is going to be a hit, whether it's good or not, because it already has a built-in fan base for that. We saw that at Urban World. The place was packed. It was riveting. It was exciting. This is I got to speak to Belle Biv DeVoe, and they're excited to see their stories actually played out on the small screen, and you know, the guys are cute, and they're dancing around. So, ladies, it's going to be a hit.
And remember the name Chris Robinson. He is the director of this miniseries. This is his first miniseries project, and he may get some awards down any maybe for Emmy time if the Emmy folks take a listen to this. Charlie, before we go, any shows you're looking at for early next year that we should keep an eye on?
You know what? For early next year, You know what? What just ended and is coming back. Yeah, I just got to throw my two cents in. And the question is, without Gina
Torres,
yeah, what are they going to do? Yeah. I'm really interested to see what that is going to be like.
That was a sneaky one.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, Dan, before we close, American Crime Season 3 dealing with North Carolina and American Crime Story Season 2 dealing with Hurricane Katrina. I think that's going to be a very – both of those are very interesting. And I'm calling for John Ridley and American Crime to get a more Emmy Awards than they did a week ago, Emmy nominations, but also American Crime, I think, will finally win the Peabody Award next spring. So
we're
with you on that, Simon.
I know, for sure. Thank you so much for the agreement. Definitely appreciate it. That's a way to wrap things up. Once again, Why Watch That Radio? You can find it at iTunes. You can find it at Stitcher Radio and at their website, whywatchthat.com. That's whywatchthat.com. As you heard in the last few minutes, it's very good listening. Check it out. Whether you want to know about television, radio, film, the whole world of entertainment and pop culture. Christina Faison, Chauncey Bellamy, thank you both for coming on. Let's have you back soon. You are a delight. And it was a pleasure to have you on the program.
All right. Have
Thanks
a good
so
one,
much.
Simon.
It was great.
Take care, both of you. You too, CNC. All the greatest.
Bye.
Christina Faison and Chauncey Bellamy from Why Watch That Radio. Again, you can find it on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and whywatchthat.com. Check it out. It is wonderful. Finally, on Smart Petrovis, Ilya Douglas on Turner Classic Movies annual Women Festival coming up next month, and also about the effort to try to get more women and women of color involved in television. Then, Kiki Melendez, the organizer of the Multicultural Sizzle Reel Upfront happening Friday night here in New York and October in Los Angeles. And finally, from Sendlab, the creators of the newest desktop box smart TV making device, Chief Executive Officer Tarnell Pini. It's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, new Pacific 90-minute edition. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up an episode you missed as well, go to our homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out the podcast, our podcast on iTunes.com, along with other Blog Talk Radio shows. We're also on Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or order it online. We love hearing from you. What do you think about today's program? What's your thoughts about how the new TV season's gone so far in broadcast TV or other shows on cable and elsewhere that you like? And what's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going? We're always all ears, so give us a shout-out. Email simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. You can also find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT, UBC Simon TWBT. Want to give one shout-out to Brick TV. I'm supposed to do BK Live, which I do a segment on every Monday afternoon. They got a party going on at Brick Media House. If you're in the area, be there, 7 to 9 p.m. It's going to be a lot of fun. Remember, we love hearing from you because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Any Toast Blog Talk Radio's general manager, the creator, is Mr. Alan Levy. While we televise, we'll talk to you today live, Audible.com and Amazon Company. But while we televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Back Friday, 90 minutes, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.